Welcome to Doc Talk. Today is episode 14. Can you believe it? Oh my goodness. So, you know, I'm getting this out a bit later today than I normally do. A lot going on this past week. And if you're like me, you were up really late last night, probably into the morning hours following this election and all the goings on with that. So, yeah, I turned in after 2 a.m. and once I put my head down on the pillow, I found that I had the hardest time going to sleep. And before I knew it, the little one was in bed with me, one of them, and then another one joined in, and I was basically just hanging on to the edge of the bed, trying to get some rest. Anyway, let's just move on to episode 14. That's why we're here, right? So we're here with my friend and classmate, Mr. Patrick Mather. To me, he's Pat Mather. And he was on last week, but today, this week, we are going to be talking about the significance of knowing oneself. Why is it important to know yourself when you get into anything? To include, obviously, a doctoral program. So we talk about the impact that that adage, know thyself, had on him and choosing to follow a clinical psychology path at the doctoral level. We also talk a bit about men's health and the role that courage plays in, you know, improving one's health, not just men, but anybody. But in this episode, we talk specifically about men's health. So Mr. Mather is a 2001 graduate of the United States Military Academy at West Point. Go Army. He served on active duty for 16 plus years, and most of that time he spent in the special forces. Today, he is a special agent with the State Department, and I think you're really going to get a lot out of this episode as well. So enjoy. Welcome to Doc Talk, where we discuss all things doctoral. Been there, done that? Then we want to hear from you. Want to be there? Want to do that? Then this is the place to be. Still trying to figure it all out? Yeah, so am I. So come on, let's do this. Let's venture beyond a master's.
After a year and a half, and then this makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. It's probably the average listener, but then I left the Army and joined the U.S. Department of State as a foreign service special agent. So I am a special agent with the State Department now. And
that's so cool.
It's a great job. It's been a lot of fun and I really enjoy it. But I will say, you know, the things that I learned in my psychology program and my studies have been immeasurable and paid off a lot in terms of what I do for a living now. I mean, right now I do protection for senior U.S. officials, but I also do criminal investigations and behind every human behavior is some sort of, you know, psychological component. Some degree. And so being able to maybe understand the factors that influence human behavior has an impact on everything that we do. So I am going to continue to pursue the program.
Yes.
So I can retire in 8 years and I'm essentially going to have to redo, because, you know, with that long of a break in between, I'm going to have to redo my studies, but I'll be a 50-year-old retired person with, no financial worries in the VA GI Bill. So I'll be able to go straight. Much of my circumstances are very unique to the fact that I've served. And so that the Veterans Affairs Department or the military would have either did or will pay for any of the studies that I'm interested in. So I'm free from the financial considerations largely, which is great.
Oh yeah. It's fantastic. So where do you see yourself, going? Have you you've probably done some research, or there's some places, some schools that you, or schools that have programs that are right up your alley,
Oh, do you mean like what program? So there are a few side E programs out there that are pretty good. You know, there's three or four. They're pretty easy to find.
Can you share those with us?
Yeah, I think Pepperdine has a good program out in California that's I've been looking pretty closely at that program. And I'm more interested in the, and I think GW also has a, or George Washington, sorry, for those people that live in the DC area. Yeah, have a good, so George Washington University also has a good side E program. And there's a couple other good ones out there. But the two main ones I looked at were George Washington and Pepperdine. I think I may want to expand beyond just veterans. I mean, I've been really looking at focusing on men's health issues. I know there's, this is always an interesting topic, but there's a lot of talk of like toxic masculinity, and I'm not a big fan of that description in and of itself. But I do think that men are, as an aside, just worth noting, I think men typically are not socialized to be as emotive, to be as demonstrative as women typically. And so I think that's had an impact on men's emotional lives and their functioning in relationships and functioning in marriages and with their kids and within their professions and their careers. And I don't know that there's a lot of, or I don't know that there are a lot of people and clinicians who focus on men's mental health issues. And I think it's, I don't know. I mean, I had to set aside a lot of my pride and a lot of my upbringing to be able to address the issues that I was going through. And I had to learn how to like be reflective, self-reflective. I had to learn how to think about myself. I had to learn how to experience my feelings and emotions. And I think I see, you know, within a lot of, you know, my peers and friends and professional colleagues and stuff, I can see that trend amongst the men that I work with. And so, I think there's a need for that. I'd like to be able to fill that need.
That's great. Yeah. As you were describing that, I started to think about people I know or have come across over the years and just thinking like, wow, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are women who fit that bill too, but if you had to compare the sexes, maybe men.
Exactly. And I'm not a big fan of like doing gender comparisons or comparing the sexes. It's just not something that I've ever felt comfortable doing just because it just seems so, I don't know, reductionist or simplistic or just inaccurate. And there's no nuance to the conversation. And so, but I do think that as a group, I see a need there. And I think there's a need also to like rewrite the narrative, right? Like nobody wants to be told they're toxically masculine. I mean, that seems kind of ridiculous, right? There are better ways to like discuss these things, I think. And so, cause that's what's going to bring somebody into the room for help, is to like actually have a better way of discussing these things. And so I think, that's possible.
Well, even before you get to the discussion, you have to be able to call it out. So maybe instead of, what would it be a better term? How would you say, hey, you know, you mean
just men's health, men's you know, health. I think yeah. Like men. Yeah. I mean, it's just as simple as that. It doesn't need to be any more, like shame or guilt inducing or accusatory or toxic. I mean, think about how pejorative these terms are.
Oh, right. Like who'd want to come in and get help for that?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, who are you to tell me? Right. So it's like, it's ridiculous. I mean, to a certain point, it's a bit of a counterpoint to the commentary on that, but it's also recognizing that, hey, there is a need here. So I think hopefully there can be some more nuance brought to this discussion.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to following your way forward. I think that's pretty neat. Exciting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my experience in the doctoral program was a year and a half, right? And most people are doing five, you know, depending on what the program is, anywhere from 3 to 7 years. I mean, if you're really lagging behind on your dissertation, I mean, people have taken 8 or 9 years to complete the degree. But your coursework is typically done very quickly. And really at that point, it's about research. But, you know, the academia moves about the pace of like glacial speed. So they, you know, it takes months to do like institutional review board submissions and approvals, and it, the state of like human research in these days, it's just like, my God, it takes forever to do this stuff, which is also not something that is consistent with my temperament. I am not a slow paced person. So having to wait months for somebody to look at my IRB submissions was not something that was well suited.
You're like, the war is over.
like, what are we doing?
Why do you
like, I recognize that? I just want to make sure all the listeners know that I recognize the value of like institutional review boards and all these other things. But, you know, again, know thyself. I would have rather just spend a little more time being in the practice room rather than, you know, typing up manuscripts and proposals.
So, you know, what's really cool to me, is knowing that you went and you sought out the help that you, that you recognized that you personally needed. Right. That's encouraging. And that's exciting to me, because when I think, I mean, I'm in the reserves now, the Army Reserves, but when I think back to my interaction with, you know, not all, but many of the combat arms types in the Army, I felt there's a greater level of ego sometimes that can play into that. And quite frankly, I shouldn't say the combat arms. I should just say across the board. Maybe it goes back to the men's health, the men's health thing, but there's a sense of pride and ego. And sometimes maybe that's what's happening with a lot of folks, is that they haven't gotten to the point where they, number one, recognize themselves that they need to seek, or they'd benefit from seeking help. When we talk about our wounded veterans, not just physically, but like emotionally and everything. So yeah, I'm excited that you recognize that and, listen to your friend and move forward and got that help. Cause that's exciting. I like that.
Well, I appreciate that. It was not pleasant. That's for sure. But I will say, I think everybody recognizes when they're not doing well, whether they acknowledge that or not, even to themselves, is unknown. But you know, when you, to go say, I need help, requires someone to say, requires someone to be able to acknowledge that they are vulnerable, right? And that they need assistance. And that is not something that we teach people in the military to do, at least not well. I think we would like to think that we encourage them to do that. And perhaps we do sometimes, but I think on the whole, it is what I guess the evidence would show that they're not doing that as often as we would like them to. And so, it is a big step to be able to acknowledge that you need help, and to be vulnerable, because being vulnerable means you can be hurt, and who wants to be further hurt? Right. So, but for me, life was unpleasant enough that I was willing to be hurt more if I knew or had at least a relatively good idea that on the back end of that experience, I would be better than I was now. So it's like, you know, it's like exercising. Is it pleasant in the moment? Often not. But in the long run, you end up stronger, faster, fitter, healthier, and just more vibrant in your life. So that was how I looked at it. Yeah. I think sometimes, a lot of times I was like, my God, why am I going through this?
So other than my father, Dr. Dennis Rowe, who I interviewed during episodes 3 and 4, Mr. Patrick Mather is the only other person that I actually know, like in person. So everybody else has been people I've met through social media who've been interested in being guests on the show. But having gone to school with Pat, I figured, oh, you know what? This might be kind of something fun to do. I had a book. I have a book. It actually belongs to my children, and it's called Would You Rather? It's .. game book. It's for kids ages 6 to 12 years old. And quite frankly, I found it to be, or I find it, I should say, to be a great kind of icebreaker. And I thought, you know, since I know Pat a bit, you know, back at school, maybe it would be kind of fun to do a few questions of would you rather. So if this is something that you like and you'd like to see me continue it with other guests on the show, let me know. I think it could be kind of fun to do, you know, three or four of these with guests in the future. Would you rather not be able to sit or not be able to stand?
Definitely, I would rather not be able to sit.
Why is that?
Well, because I can still lay down. That's right. I can lay down. But if you can't stand, you can't walk. And I like moving.
Okay, that's good.
I like being able to move.
Okay. Would you rather get $10 today or get $1 a day for 20 days?
Woo! Definitely $1 a day for 20 days. That one's an easy one. That's like the marshmallow test.
Marshmallow test?
Yeah. It's a famous psychological experiment where they brought kids into the room and said, you could put a marshmallow in front of them. And they said, you can have one now, or if you wait till I come back, you can have two. And the proctor would leave the room and some kids it was great. It's wonderful. It's all on video. You can watch these kids react, but they would, some kids couldn't contain themselves and would just eat every piece of that marshmallow right then and there. And then some would wait very patiently. And then when that person came back, they would get two marshmallows. And so it was an exercise in delayed gratification. And they followed these kids over time to see what the outcomes were. And they measured them in lots of areas. It was really interesting.
Oh, I like that. That's cool. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay, here's a good one. Would you rather be SpongeBob or be Patrick?
I mean, who wouldn't want to be famous? I would much rather be SpongeBob. I'm already Patrick. Or Pat Mather, oh, according to you.
Oh my gosh. This is funny. Would you rather fart every time you laugh or every time you cry?
Oh God, every time I cry, definitely.
Okay.
But neither, because both of those are embarrassing. I mean, if you're already going to be embarrassed, be embarrassed.
Do it when you cry. Okay. And you laugh a lot, so.
I do.
Okay. Let's do two more.
Okay.
I can't promise this is going to air. We're just doing this.
Sure. No, yeah, it's great.
Would you rather take an art class or take a music class?
That is tough. Probably music. I play the banjo, and the more I play the banjo, the more I recognize I need help. So learning more about music. Huh. So I take a music class.
Nice. And here's the last one. Would you rather lose your memory or lose your best friend?
That is a really tough question. Because, I mean, if you lose your memory, you lose yourself because you don't know who you are, right? You can't identify. You lose who you are is based in the context of your memories. So that's a tough question. Lose yourself or lose someone close to you? I guess I would rather lose my memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no right or wrong, but yeah, I can understand that. Okay. That was kind of, I don't like that. Let's end on a better note. Oh, here's a good one.
Okay.
Would you rather speak all languages or be able to speak to all animals?
Definitely all languages. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. Thanks for playing along.
This is your host, Allison Marchine, and I'm so glad you were here. And I'm looking forward to the next time. Let's do this again.